During these past few weeks, we have learned how we are in the fight of our lives and how important it is to put on the full armor of God. But today, we learned how prayer is the key of making that armor effective. Now, let's listen in as Pastor Terry teaches this very important principle.
We've been talking about the spiritual armor of God, Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. Actually, tonight we're looking at verses 18, 19, and 20. Last week we kind of finished up on God's armor. Here we stand now, the warrior this summer, ready. We have gone over each piece of the armor. We have looked at it carefully because we realize that we are not fighting just any kind of war. We're fighting a war, a battle, that is not just an ordinary battle. It's an unseen battle. It takes place. Our enemy is diabolical. He is treacherous. And we must be prepared if we are to stand against him. The devil is nothing to just shake a stick at. He is smarter than we are. He is wiser than we are. And we have to be prepared. So we have put on the belt of truth, the truth of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We have put on that breastplate of righteousness. It's not our righteousness. We just sang about that just a few moments ago. It's the righteousness that we put on of Jesus Christ that protects our heart. It's because of his righteousness that has been imputed and given to us that makes us want to live a holy and set apart and righteous life. Not because God gives us a set of rules that we must follow, but because we love him so much, we want to do what he tells us to do. Jesus himself says, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. Well, we love God, so we want to keep his commands. Why? Because he knows best. We also have put on these shoes of peace. They have these big spikes in them, remember? These shoes of peace that stand firm so that we can, when the devil sends discouragement our way, we'll be able to stand firm. We not only have peace with God, we talk about how we have the peace of God in our lives. And then we also talk about the shield of faith. Because Satan sends arrows our way, fiery arrows our way. Arrows of discouragement, arrows of guilt, arrows of shame. And that shield of faith that we have, we know we have faith because we know God's promises. We can cling to God's promises. Why? Because we know his character. And what he's done before, he'll do again. We can stand upon the promises of God. That's the faith that we have. We talked last week about the helmet of salvation, how it protects our head, how sometimes what Satan tries to do is fill our minds with thoughts that aren't right. He even tries to persuade us and to convince us somehow. By the way, I don't need a microphone. I can talk loud. So he can try to convince us that we're not even God's children anymore. Well, that helmet of salvation assures us that once we have repented, changed directions, that we are his children, and that he will see it through. He will see us through to the very end. And of course, those are all defensive weapons. And of course, we have one more, and that's the sword of the Spirit, the double-edged sword. It's God's word that we can use to fight back, to counteract those things that come our way. So here we have our warrior. We spent the whole summer talking about it. Here we have ready for a spiritual battle. And what's the thing that spiritual-filled warrior does now when here comes the enemy? He's coming his way. Here he comes right now. What's that warrior going to do? He's going to hit his knees in prayer before he does anything. Oh, he's all set for battle. He has it all. But before he makes a step, before he stands firm, before he doesn't do anything until he hits his knees in prayer. And so Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, 18 through 20, as the enemy approaches, we as Christian soldiers must fight on our knees. We talked about last week that this armor isn't something that we put off and take on. It's something that we leave on. It's part of our character. And so it is with prayer. We must stay on our knees every day if we are to find victory in this life. The moment we stop doing that, the moment we wander away from the armor and from prayer, we become susceptible to what Satan has for us and to the things of this world. And we are indeed vulnerable. If you have your Bibles or iPhones or Androids, whatever it is, turn to Ephesians, the sixth chapter, three verses, verses 18 through 20. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. It's the word of God to the church in Ephesus and by extension to us as well. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. I want you to notice real quick as I pause, there are five fundamental facts that were in that verse. I'm going to read that verse again. Let's pick out those five fundamental truths. Pray, one, in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Mark that in your Bibles. Pray at all times. Mark that in your Bibles. Pray on every occasion. So we have three. Pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. Stay alert, and here's the fourth one. Be persistent in your prayers. Who? For all believers. For some believers? For most believers? No, for all believers where? Here in Fort Lauderdale? Here in the state of Florida? No, for all believers where? Everywhere. And then Paul says this. Look at this, what Paul says. And pray for me. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. Pray in the Spirit all times, every occasion. Be persistent and for all believers everywhere. The great pastor of years and years gone by, Edward Payson, said this: prayer is the first thing, the second thing, the third thing, the fourth thing. Prayer is the main thing. Therefore, my brothers, pray, 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 pray. There isn't anything that we can do that's more important in our lives than to pray. To pray. Prayer is our ultimate weapon in spiritual warfare. It's not part of the armor. It's what makes the armor effective. We can have all the armor on, but if we go in there without prayer, honestly, we're going to get beat up. We're going to get beat up. I'm going to take apart those five fundamental facts and just spend a couple minutes on them, because honestly, they're so important as we move forward, as you move forward in life. If we want to have victory in Jesus, if we want to have victory in our life, if we want to stand strong when difficulties come our way, if we want to be able to stand firm when the unexpected hits our home, when we want to be able to stand firm when we get that phone call that we dread, when we want to be able to stand firm when we lose our job, or when things don't go the way we want to, or our children go astray, we must be on our knees in prayer, constantly surrounded by God's armor. Notice the first thing the Apostle Paul says. He says the first, because it becomes the very beginning. Everything else builds upon that. He says this: pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Well, how does one pray under the influence, or how does one pray in the Spirit? And Paul says, pray in the Spirit. What does that mean? How do we find out what praying in the Spirit means? Well, we go to Scripture. In Romans, it tells us in 8, 26 and 27. Again, if you have your Bibles, turn there to that. Romans 8, 26 and 27. And Paul, again, this time to the church in Rome, tells us what that means to pray in the Spirit under that influence. He says this: and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Don't you like that? I don't know about you, but I'm weak. I am in prayer. I need that help. And here Paul says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, isn't that good? Paul's going to give us an example. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us, believers, in harmony with God's own will. Wow. You see, we pray, the Holy Spirit leads us in prayer. He takes our prayer, reinterprets those prayers, and prays them to the Father for us. I mean, wow. I mean, it's incredible. The Holy Spirit gives us the power, gives us the ability, gives us desire, and even informs us what we're to pray about. He infuses us prayer into ours. And he gives us the guiding thoughts in our lives. He even gives us the incentive to pray. Without him infusing us, without him encouraging us, most of us would never even spend any time in prayer at all. We pray because the Holy Spirit encourages us to pray. He puts it in our mind. The Holy Spirit tells us what we're to pray for. Apart from him, apart from the Holy Spirit, our prayers would depend upon our own initiative, our own insight. Wouldn't that be a bad thing? But the Holy Spirit infuses us with the knowledge we can pray and pray for one another. As we seek his help, he'll speak to us through his word. Have you ever been praying and all of a sudden a word from the Lord just comes to your mind? How does that do that? That's the Holy Spirit working in your life. You're praying in the Spirit. You're praying under the influence of the Spirit. As you go deeper and deeper, spend more and more time in prayer, he opens up more and more and more truths, encouraging you. He will settle certain things in your hearts to pray for. He'll put certain things on your mind. Have you ever been driving down the road, or maybe you've been at home washing dishes or cutting the lawn or whatever that case might be, and someone just pops in your mind, and you just know you're supposed to stop and pray for that person? Well, a couple weeks ago, my friend George over here called me on his way to work, and George says, God just put you on my mind to pray for. I just want to call and let you know that I was praying for you. What's that? Is that because George likes me? No, it's because the Holy Spirit put my name in his mind. He said, you need to pray for this guy right now. And George had no idea what for. He had no idea what was going on. But the Holy Spirit encouraged him and influenced him to pray. You know, and if we find it sometimes hard to pray, the Holy Spirit will help us by praying back Scripture to God. Have you ever done that? Pray back Scripture to God. As you begin praying Scripture to God, the Holy Spirit will influence you more and more and more and more. He not only tells us what to pray for, he not only fills our mind with us, he gives us the absolute energy to pray. To pray. Again, without his influence, none of us. You know that's true. That without God seeking us out, none of us would seek him. Without the Holy Spirit seeking us in prayer, none of us would pray. It's only because of what the Holy Spirit does for us. That's what Paul is talking about. We pray in the Spirit. We're to pray in the Spirit. And how? At all times. I like Paul. He doesn't mess around. He says, at all times. That's pretty clear. Even I can figure that out. At all times. Acts 1:14 says this. The first century church, here's what they did all the time. It says this. They all met together, listen to the words, and were constantly united in prayer. You know, words are important, and God doesn't mess around with words. When he says they all met together and were constantly in prayer, guess what he means? They all met together and were constantly in prayer. Wow. How's that happen? How can we do that? How can one be constant, completely all the time in prayer? I mean, even Paul says to the church in Thessalonica, he says to pray continually, pray without ceasing. How does one do that? How does one? Well, you know, there's a way of walking through life where at one level, we're doing all the things that we need to do. We're making decisions. We're being good parents. We're doing all the things that we need to do in life, all the responsibilities that we have. And at the same time, at a deeper level, if we desire and if we discipline ourselves, we can be in a constant, continual attitude of prayer at all times. And, listen, the next one, on every occasion. See how those two go together? We pray at all times and on every occasion. If we're praying at all times and on every occasion, we can pray at all times. Because no matter what we're doing, we can pray. Even when we're doing things that aren't pleasant or are pleasant, whatever the case may be, we can be praying on every occasion, at all times. Wow. You see, sometimes we get this idea that we only can pray about the big stuff, that God doesn't care about the small stuff. Well, did you ever think of this? He's God. It's all small stuff to him. The biggest thing in your life is small stuff to God. There is no big stuff to God. Everything is small. He has answers for everything. Oh, don't misunderstand. There are some big things in our lives, some things that can hurt, and God hurts with us in those. But the solutions, the answers, lie within our powerful, almighty, sovereign God. So we must get to the place where we recognize that we want to be praying at all times, as I'm driving down the road, as I walk into the office, as I go to school, as I'm washing dishes, as I'm watching television, as I'm interacting with my friends, as I'm talking with my wife. There's an attitude of prayer at a deeper level that I'm with, because I recognize that in everything in my life, God wants to be involved. Parents, moms and dads, those of you whose children have grown up and have left the house, that's me. I have three sons. They, for the most part, have left the house. They live in Texas, live in Indiana, sometimes California. Who knows where they live all the time? All the time. Do you know, one of the greatest joys when your children leave the house is when they call. Right, Mom and Dad? When you haven't seen your children for a while and they call you, what do you do? Hey, I can't talk right now. Boom. No. You drop everything, because there's nothing that's more important than talking to your kids. It doesn't make a difference what you're doing. You'll drop everything. You'll pull over the side of the road. You'll stop what you're doing, because there's nothing that's more important than talking to your children. You may be involved in some big deal. Hey, I got to put that on hold because my son or my daughter is calling, and there's nothing more important than talking to our children. I mean, if our children are willing to take their time and call us after we pick ourselves up off the floor, it's a pretty exciting thing. And all we want to do then is talk to our kids. Well, guess what? Our Heavenly Father is the same way. All he wants to do is talk to his children. And when you and I are absolutely willing to sit down and to pray to him, he listens. He listens. Because you're his children. We're his children. And there's nothing that he enjoys more. Nothing that he enjoys more than hearing from his children. Dad, I want to talk to you today. Let's talk. Wow. Paul says that we are to pray in the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit prompts us. It's kind of like your grandma who encourages you to call your parents. Holy Spirit, hey, call God. Call him up. Let him know. The Holy Spirit is prompting you to call, to pray, giving you the energy and time to pray. Because your Heavenly Father wants to hear from us. I mean, let's just stop for a moment, honestly, and think about the absurdity, honestly, the absurdity of that statement. That God really wants to hear from us? I mean, that, honestly, guys, that's absurd. How would a sovereign God, who has no beginning and has no end, completely self-sufficient, doesn't need you and I at all. In fact, yeah, we're like clay, is anxious to hear from us. You know what the psalmist says? Listen to this. The psalmist says that God wants to hear from us so much. The psalmist says that he actually bends down to hear us when we pray. Well, Paul tells us that we're to pray in the Spirit. We're to pray at all times and on every occasion. But we're to be persistent in our prayers. You know, one of Jesus' most unusual parables we find in Luke 18, the first five verses. It's a parable that when you read it, you think, wow, that's really, who put that in the Bible? Why is that? It just kind of startles you a little bit. So I'll read it to you and see if you had that same kind of impression. But the first verse tells us why Jesus is telling us this parable. It's because, listen carefully, God honors persistent praying. God honors persistent praying. Here's what Jesus said in Luke 18. Jesus says this. One day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. Oh, there you go. Right there. Always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." Verse 4. The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, "I don't fear God or care about people at all, but this woman is driving me crazy. So I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant request." Jesus told us over and over, and Jesus told us about the persistence and recurring prayer in his teaching over and over. In fact, in Matthew 7, the most famous of all teaching, the Sermon on the Mount, when it comes to the end, Matthew 7:7, he talks about asking, seeking, and knocking. Those are active words. Really, what they say is keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Be persistent. If your prayer wasn't answered, pray again, ask again, seek again, knock again, ask again, seek again, knock again. Keep on asking, keep on seeking. We're such an instant gratification people, we pray once or twice and then stop. One of my spiritual heroes is a guy named George Mueller, lived back in the 1800s, 1700s. And George Mueller was known to be a man of prayer and a man of faith. He tells a story in his journal, George does, about how there was a friend of his, and he prayed for these two sons of his. George prayed 56 years every day, according to his journal. You can read his journal. 56 years every day for these two sons. And he believed, he was asked after 30-some years, "Why don't you stop praying?" He goes, "No, I know God will answer my prayer." And you know what? Both of those boys came to know the Lord, listen carefully, after George died. But for 56 years, he prayed for those boys, and God honored his prayer. When the Holy Spirit puts something in your heart to pray for, when the Holy Spirit encourages us to pray for Sawgrass Community Church, when the Holy Spirit encourages us to pray for one another, when the Holy Spirit puts somebody or something in your heart to pray for, we must be persistent in prayer. Don't pray once or twice. Paul says, be persistent. Keep on praying. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. George Mueller would say, for 50 years. Day after day after day after day. Why did it take God 50 years to answer? I'm clueless. I have no idea. But I do know this. We are told to be persistent. And I also know this. I stop way too soon. I can get discouraged way too quick. Well, that's not going to work out. I'm going to stop praying for that. Well, that must be a no. I'll stop praying for that. And you know what? I stop. And honestly, probably so do you. But we need to be people right here, when we have our spiritual armor on, who are continually praying, being persistent in our prayers. And last thing Paul says this, he says that we are to pray for believers everywhere. I find it kind of interesting. I think you might too. Notice nowhere in here in verses 18 does he say, pray for unbelievers. He says, pray for believers everywhere. I don't know, I just found that kind of interesting. I mean, I know we're supposed to pray for unbelievers as well. But Paul here is establishing a priority. We need to pray for believers everywhere. Why? Well, because the road is tough. And Satan roars around like a lion. and he's deceptive and crafty, and we are no match for him. High on our list should be Christian people. Again, let me read what Paul says. Paul says to us, for us, right on verse 19 and 20, he says, and pray for me too. I mean, this is a guy who's dressed in the armor. This is a guy who prays constantly. This is a guy who had an experience with God that is just incredible. He went to a third heaven that most of us will never get to until the day we die. Paul visited there, but still he says, make sure you pray for me, that I continue, that I am faithful, that I keep doing the things I'm supposed to do. Why? Because Paul understood better than you and I do just how difficult life can be, and he needed prayer just like we need prayer. I read this book this last week or two, actually about a month ago, I guess it was. It was by Charlie Shedd called The Exciting Church. And the whole book has this premise. There's a new leader that comes onto the church, and as he comes into the leadership of the church, he asks the pastor and the leadership team, he asks them a question. He says, what would happen in our church if we began praying for one another? If everybody in our church simply prayed for one another, what might happen? And the whole book is about what happened when they became organized and started praying for one another. So every day, every person in their church was prayed for. You prayed for her, and she prayed for him, and he prayed for them. Everybody had one person, and they prayed for that person every day. They never missed. They prayed constantly. What would happen to our lives? What would happen to our church? What would happen to our community? What would happen to our families if we prayed for one another? Us right here is a pretty small group. We can figure that out. If we simply prayed constantly, consistently, on every occasion for one another, what would happen? What would happen? Do you think it would make a difference? Do you think our community would notice? Do you think our family and friends might notice? What if we started praying for one another? What would happen to the worship? What would happen to the preaching? What would happen to the teaching? What would happen if people knew, hey, that's a church that prays for one another. That's a church that spends time on their knees in prayer for one another. They may not have all the answers in the world. They may not have the world's greatest music. They may not have the world's greatest speaker. And they don't have a lot of things. But I'll tell you one thing about that church they do have is they will pray for you. Pretty simple. But oh, how powerful. See, I don't think that our church would be the same if just one or two or three of us made a commitment to pray for one another. Not just once in a while, but every day, at all times, on every occasion, being persistent, praying for one another. You know, somebody right here in this group, someone is building tonight. You know that someone is building tonight needs some kind of hope. Do you know that? Someone needs hope. Someone here needs patience. Someone here needs courage. Someone here needs to know that they're loved. Someone needs determination. Somebody here tonight needs insight. They need answers. Strength. Guidance. And guess what? You and I, even as smart as we are, and we're pretty good, we don't have the answers. We really don't. See, in our lives, only Jesus has the answers. Only Jesus has the answers. But we can pray because we know the one who does have the answers. We know the one who does know what to do. We know the one through all of our issues, all of our problems. It's all just small stuff to him. Not because it's unimportant. Not because it's small, but because he's big, big, big. Here's my challenge for us tonight. As we dream and think about the future, as we dream and wonder what God has in store for us, not just as a church, but in our families, in our own individual lives, how about if we make a commitment to pray for one another? How about if you do that right where you are tonight? You know what? I'm going to pray for those. Maybe you ask the Holy Spirit to put one person's name on your heart. And you decide for the next 30 or 45 days or to pray for that person every day. Every day. The same person every day, every night, and every occasion, at all times, pray for that person. They don't even need to know that you're praying for them. But I just suspect, I just think we serve a powerful enough God, a God who honors us enough that I just think, I'm wild enough to think that if everyone here, you know, the 35 or 40 of us here, if everyone here decided to pray for somebody else that's here, whether you know them or not, and we did that, I think we'd hear stories. I think we'd have some incredible things happen. If I just in my heart decided to pray for you, and in your heart you decided to pray for me, and I didn't even tell you, I just prayed for you. And I did it every day. And maybe you prayed for me, and you did it every day. I think we would experience new power for Jesus Christ. So that's my challenge to you tonight. It's pretty simple. You don't have to tell anybody. Just in your own mind, ask the Holy Spirit, who should I pray for the next 30 days? Give me someone in my heart to pray for. Pray for somebody here in your church family. Pray for somebody here, somebody upstairs. But pray for that person every day. And then see what happens. And follow the Holy Spirit's promptings as he tells you that who knows what will happen. Who knows? It could be an exciting time. Let's learn to pray for one another. Amen?